verse 14. I'm going to read all the way through the verses and then come back and give some commentary on it all. We are going to go over one of the most difficult scriptures in the book of James, and if not in the New Testament. And it shows up in verse 24, but let's start at verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect, and scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You see then, a man is justified by works and not by faith only. There is the verse that has tripped up so many. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If you're joining us and haven't been here for a while, we have just been working through the book of James and just walking through God's word, and we've come to this passage beginning at verse 14. James will say to us, what does it profit? What advantage is there in verse 14? What advantage, what benefit, my brethren, if someone says they have faith but does not have works, can faith save him? This verse gives us the key to the rest of this section. Without this verse, without a particular word in this verse, it becomes very, very confusing what James is saying. But the word in this verse unlocks it for us and helps us understand the rest of the verses that will follow. What does it profit, my brethren? He does not say if someone has faith. He says if someone says he has faith. And as he begins to talk about faith, we have to keep in mind, he is talking about, often in this, a faith that is only a declaration. See, because Romans will tell us that, Romans 10, 9 and 10 will talk about, with the heart one believes, and with the mouth one confesses. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. It'll go on to talk about in that chapter, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Talking about faith and believing. But it has to be both. So James is addressing this. He says, if someone says he has faith, he doesn't say if someone has faith. He says, if someone says, the articulation, the declaration, oh, I have faith. But we can't just have a confession. Has to be a believing in our hearts. Someone says he has faith, but does not have works or deeds. Can that kind of faith save him? You will remember that Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, in that will day. No, it's more than just a confession. It has to be a believing. It's the two. When we talk about salvation, sozo, when we talk about saving faith, it's a believing and a confession. It's not just the confession. It's not just the believing. It's the two are tied together. And then he goes on to say, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? He's used this word again. What does it profit? What does it profit? When James is talking to us about if you see someone naked, he means poorly dressed. It doesn't mean there's a lot of naked people running around. If you see someone who's poorly dressed, I don't know, maybe they're wearing a Rough Riders jersey. If you see someone, if you see someone poorly dressed, it's like hanging out in Calgary and not having a coat in the winter, or having a coat with all kinds of holes in it where the elements can come in, and improperly dressed. It's raining outside and you got holes in your shoes. It's that kind of nakedness. It says if you see someone like that and you don't help out with that, what does it profit? James is teaching us that true and authentic faith, it will profit the person and it will profit others. What does it profit if you just say you have faith? Nothing. It says, can that kind of faith save you? No. It's not just the declaration. And he says, if you just have the declaration of faith, and you just declare to someone just with your mouth, well, be warm and be filled. Hope things work out for you. He says, it's not going to be a benefit to them either. What does it profit? Thus, faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. Essentially, faith without works doesn't work. Without works doesn't work. But someone will say, and then he gets into this conversation of this hypothetical situation of who the someone is, and if you say, and if I say, and he wanders us through this illustration. He says, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Well, then show me your faith without your works. But here, I will show you my faith by my works. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are not saved by works, but loved ones, we are saved unto them. We are saved unto good works. We are his workmanship, created for good works in Christ Jesus, who he predestined beforehand that we would walk in them. We are not saved by works. I remember sitting with a Catholic priest in a meeting together, and I had such an attitude about my understanding of Catholicism, on and on about saved by works, and he sat with me and he said, Barry, we are not saved by works, but we are saved unto them. And that has just so stuck with me. Ephesians 2:10, we are not saved by them, but they are part of the result. We are not saved by them, but we are saved unto them. And then James says this, tell me if you can hear the sarcasm in it. You believe in verse 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. When he uses that word believe, he's not talking about a saving faith. It's this mental acknowledgement that yes, I believe there is a God. You believe in God. Well, fine. So the demons believe. And they're not saved. It's not just that kind of believing in the existence of God. The demons believe and tremble. That kind of faith lacks action. It's not just biblical faith and believing has to do with placing trust and confidence and giving your life. It's not just, yes, I believe. It's with the heart one believes. With the mouth one confesses. Verse 20. But you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. He keeps talking about this dead, this lifeless, this inability to give you life and inability to give others life is dead. Then he's going to talk about two illustrations that seemingly to his Jewish audience would be, you couldn't find two people further apart. He starts with Father Abraham. And he says in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by his works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. these three verses. In verse 21, he says that Abraham was justified. That has to do with shown and demonstrated to be righteous. It has to do with proved it out, lived it out. But he starts in verse 21, he says it was finished. It was complete. His faith was complete. He lived it out. In verse 23, this is where it started. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. He's talking about two different things. One, when God is speaking to Abraham and said, you're going to have lots of kids. Look up and can you count the stars? Can you count the sands on the seashore? Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And that's when it says that he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The word is imputed. It means deposited into his account. God made a deposit of righteousness into Abraham's life because he believed. And he's declared righteous, and we come back to the New Testament three times. We'll take us to that verse that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. That's where we talk about Abraham, the father of faith. But that is not when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. When he did that, James is saying, that's when he was justified. That's when it was proved out. It was authentic faith. And authentic faith causes us to act, brings us to action. Three times in the New Testament, Jesus will say these words, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And there can be some twisted thoughts on faith making you well. I think it is very clear in Scripture, in the three times that Jesus said it, it's accompanied with action. He says it in Mark chapter 5, with the woman with the issue of blood who presses through the crowd. And that is exactly the picture when Scripture says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. It's not this unrestrained kind of violence. It's this, I am going to press in and press through, just like this woman did. If I'm in a crowded place and a little, my little kid is in trouble, I am going to press through to get to them. That's what this woman did. She pressed through. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. The next time he says it is in Mark chapter 10. It's with Bartimaeus, who cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What do you want me to do for you? He cries out his faith. He just heard that Jesus was coming. And he acknowledges him as the Messiah because he says, Jesus, thou son of David. He didn't say, thou son of Joseph, thou son of Mary. He said, Jesus, thou son of David. Understanding who he was, the messianic lineage, son of David, have mercy on me. And the people around him told him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more because his faith in Jesus caused him to do something, put action to his belief. And the last time that Jesus uses it, it's in Luke 17. Where he has cleansed 10 lepers, and 10 of them leave, and as they go, they are healed, they are cleansed. And one of them comes back, a Samaritan comes back, bows down before him, worships him, and thanks him. And Jesus says, we're not 10, and he uses this word, we're not 10 cleansed. He does not say saved, made whole, anything like that. He just simply says, we're not 10 cleansed of leprosy, but only you, one, have remained. And he says to him, your faith has made you, and then Jesus used the word again, sozo, salvation. It means whole. Your faith has made you whole. Each of those incidences has nothing to do with an increase of believing. It has everything to do with action. Your faith has made you well. And so when we talk about faith, it has everything to do, not just a declaration or belief, it's coupled with action. Because James says, okay, with faith, just a declaration, can that kind of faith save you? It cannot. And he points us to Abraham and says, Abraham, it was authentic, it was the real deal. He believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness, but then he lived it out on Mount Moriah. And he discovered that the Lord will provide Jehovah Jireh. But he put action to it. And then James says to us, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. which flies or seemingly flies in the face of we are saved by faith alone, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And those are not held in they're not contrary to one another, but they're held in tension to see that just our declaration of faith, if it's not coupled with a true belief that causes us to live it out and to put action to it, that's not the saving kind of faith that James is addressing. James is addressing the mere confession of faith without a believing heart that results in actions. And that's what that word justified means. It's different than the word righteous. It was accounted to him as righteousness in right standing with God. Justified has to do with shown to be righteous. You say it, but put your money where your mouth is. It's that kind of declaration that he's saying is justified by works, not by faith only. Likewise, and here's the opposition, maybe as far as you can get, according to the Jewish culture mindset, would be Father Abraham, the father of faith. Are we not children of Abraham? They declare to Jesus. And then James says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot? He doesn't even just call her Rahab, he calls her out from her past. Was not Rahab the harlot, the Gentile, living in Jericho, also justified by works, a demonstration of her belief when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Abraham, the father of faith, and this girl Rahab. And says this, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Works, but our faith, works is proof of life. Works is proof of life. Is our faith real? Is it just in our mouth? Works is proof of life. The message of the gospel is the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It changes us. There is a transformation that takes place. It happens immediately and instantly on the inside, but it works itself out. Can this kind of faith save him? What does it profit? What does it profit a person? What does it profit the people around us when we see needs and we just simply give words? We need to couple action with our faith, and in doing so, be the hands and feet of Jesus to people. Make a difference in the world. We're here. It's not just all about us and us possessing faith. It's about making a difference and helping others. If it wasn't, we'd just see a whole lot of people get saved and immediately die. Off we go. But wouldn't it just be better to be with the Lord? Paul acknowledges that. For me, it's better to be with Jesus. Let's go. Punch my ticket. We're out of here. But we're here for others. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we're here to give our lives for others, to reach people. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. And God did not leave the church here to condemn the world, but that through the church leading people to Christ, they would be saved. May we be people who believe, and because we believe, we put action to our faith. So let your good work shine before your Father in heaven and glorify Him. It's not about us, but may even our works point people to Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray this morning.